Hello, this is Sahar. I hope you enjoy listening to this podcast.
Hello, today we're talking to astrologer Jessica Murray from the United States. In this interview, I asked Jessica about macro transits, why Pluto, the governor of secrets, is the subject of her upcoming book. We also discussed national astrological forecasts and how they would affect our lives. I hope you'll enjoy our conversation.
Jessica, welcome back. It's nice to have you once more as our guest.
Thank you.
Now, last podcast, we discussed what astrology is and what to expect from an astrological forecast. I also noticed on your website, which is www.mothersky.com, you mentioned that your writing on astrology focuses more on macro transits. What are macro transits and how do they influence us?
Macro transits are those very long transits that inform whole great swaths of history. So they tell us about where humanity is in its overall evolution. And to track them, we use the planets that move very slowly, like Uranus and Neptune and Pluto.
Right.
Whose patterns encompass thousands of years. So their movements have to do with epochal changes.
Right.
Give a sense about the ways that the whole mass consciousness is changing. So we can get a sense of this very broad perspective when we look at the older astrologies from different cultures, you know, like the Mesoamerican.
Yes.
And those of ancient India. Their calendars track these amazingly vast periods. And what they were charting was the development of humanity, really, not individuals.
Right. And I also know that you're writing a book on Pluto. Why Pluto? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Pluto is fascinating because it governs the things nobody wants to talk about.
How so?
Taboos.
Right.
Ideas that make everybody nervous. And of course, this is a relative concept. Different cultures are going to have different taboos, and different families are going to have their own taboos. And even in a given individual, we're each going to have our own topics that feel too dangerous to deal with or even think about. So to look at Pluto psychologically is a very interesting study.
Mm-hmm.
And the house where Pluto falls in the chart is going to indicate where there's a deep sense of discomfort, often an underlying fear of disclosure. There's usually secrecy surrounding the issue or even shame.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't because the subject is inherently shameful, but because it reaches into a part of the psyche where there's a lot of repressed material.
Right.
And unless we look at it, it's going to stay down there and fester.
Does that hold true about Pluto in a personal chart, a chart as well as if it's a macro transit that we're looking at?
Well, you know, in the macro transit sense, what Pluto refers to is the natural law of decay and renewal.
Right.
Which we can see in nature. We see that everything goes through a breakdown and then starts over in some form, whether it's an oak tree or a solar system or a relationship.
Right.
And, you know, this is going to be easier to accept in the plant kingdom, for example, but when we look at human life, it's harder for us to handle that the same natural law extends to human beings.
Mm.
You know, we don't want to see ourselves as needing to die and get recycled like everything else in the universe. Call it the hubris of the human mind. At least in the Western world where we fancy ourselves apart from nature as if we operated by different laws.
Right.
So, as a culture, we have lost touch with the idea that death and rebirth are flip sides to the same coin.
That's right.
And this is, I think, why Pluto spooks people so much. But the other thing that makes it so misunderstood is that physical death is only one form of death.
Mm.
Whereas what Pluto is really about are all the little deaths and rebirths that we go through in the course of living. You know, either a person
mm-hmm.
or a culture.
Mm-hmm.
So the placement of Pluto in a chart is going to show where the native feels like they are dying when they go through an experience, even if it's a an experience that seems very mundane and routine to other people.
Mm.
And, of course, that's the very activity that's going to give them a sense of rebirth.
Right. That brings me to my next question to you. On MotherSky.com, you also have a section called Skywatch, where you discuss what's happening in regards to heavenly bodies and moving in the sky. What is happening to the planets now? Of course, this can be a vast topic, but briefly, how are current events being shaped by what's happening up in the sky?
Well, the planets, you know, the Skywatch is a monthly posting, so we track things that are currently going on and we decode them. We apply astrological principles to what they're doing.
Right.
Interpret what their movements mean. And we can do this for an individual, which is what it means to get your transits read. We can do it for the general population, which tells us what the main lessons are for humanity at a given time. And that kind of astrology, which is what the Skywatch talks about, is
right.
necessarily very general.
Right.
So ideally, one looks at both what the planets are saying for you as an individual and what they're saying about the season we're all in.
Right.
Which, for instance, right now, the planet Mars is in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at the symbolism of Taurus, which is the material plane.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the symbolism of Mars, which is the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And we infer that all of us are getting an important look at our various attachments to money and territory and resources,
mm-hmm.
all the material things. During this transit, which started in July and will last until February coming up. So this is a very broad way of looking at the Skywatch. It's financial issues are going to have a particular buzz for people.
Right.
Mars often means that there's a charge that it gets riled up.
Right.
Of course, that doesn't have to mean it's conflictual, and this is where the idea of choice comes in that we were talking about last time.
Right.
That if one is aware of the lesson the transit's trying to teach, we won't be as likely to experience the conflict reaction.
Mm.
And ideally, we will use the period to understand what money means instead of just staying on the surface with it.
Right.
But, you know, I'm
yeah.
getting a lot of clients struggling with this right now because...
That's interesting.
The issue's up.
Yes, yes.
And their feelings about abundance and lack are up.
Right.
In the air. And we can look at the acute physical survival issues that are being expressed by the global disasters,
mm-hmm.
sadly, like mm-hmm. the Kashmir earthquake.
Yes, yes.
And we can see that on every level, humanity's been given a chance to look at this issue of physical resources. So from the literal to the psychological, everybody's feeling it on some level. And we're meant to deepen our understanding about it, of course. I mean, that's what transits are really about. It's not that everyone will use transit as a teaching, but that's their fundamental purpose.
Right. And Jessica, when you do a forecast on a national level, if you like, or a humanity level, what do you use as when you do on a personal chart, like you use the date of birth? What do you do when you work with nations, for example?
Sometimes we have a very clear date of birth, quote unquote, of the nation. Like very young countries like the USA, we use July 4th, 1776.
Like the national
day.
There, yeah.
Yeah. The birthday of the entity.
Mm.
Which is what business people use when they incorporate. They'll use the time and place where that business was born, so called.
Right.
And then you chart them by similar principles.
I understand. Now, what can we expect for next year as humanity in general in terms of the planets and what's happening?
Well, that's a very, very big question.
We talked about money now is like an influence.
You know, money is kind of an accessible way.
Right.
In transit, because everybody has...
Is concerned, absolutely, yes.
...in on it. And the macro transits that we talk about, you can't really even talk about them in personality terms.
Right.
We talk more in these vast, it's extremely abstract terms, which kind of have to shift your perspective.
Right.
The
yes,
the ancient Indians did, you know.
Uh-huh.
is a very big date, if we can stay general, coming up in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very unusual formation in the sky called the Grand Cross.
Grand Cross.
This is a Grand Cross. Mm-hmm. Is a an actual square, a geometrical formation,
mm-hmm.
formed by four planets. And if you gauge transits by how excited astrologers are about a given transit, this would have to be the one that...
That's amazing.
...mention, yeah.
What are the four planets involved in the Grand Cross?
We have Uranus,
mm-hmm.
we have Saturn,
mm-hmm.
we have Pluto, and we have the Moon.
Mm.
And what this is noteworthy about this is that Pluto, you know, hardly ever changes signs. I mean, it takes 250 years to go through the zodiac, so it's going into a new sign,
mm-hmm.
in 2010. It's going into Capricorn,
mm-hmm.
and when it does that, it's going to hit these other planets at just the exact degrees, so that if you connected the dots in the sky, you'd get a cross.
Amazing. And what does that mean? For humanity, in broad terms. I get excited about such planetary formation,
yeah.
You know, because we had, of course, the harmonic concordance and so on.
Yeah.
And the cross is something to look forward to.
It absolutely is. I mean, to me, it signifies that business can't go on as usual.
Mm-hmm.
In all the four major life departments that are indicated by the different signs, not just one of them.
Right.
You know, it's a confluence of, for example, what Pluto and Capricorn means. You're going to have a whole 15 years worth of changes in the institutional structures of
right.
the world, governments,
right.
economies, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then Uranus is going to, you know, have its own kind of technological revolution that's indicated by its ingress, and so on. You go through each of them, and you have to stay very abstract to imagine what
yes.
it could.
But already what you're talking about sounds like it's already in motion.
Yes.
You know, the technological revolution, what's happening with governments and policies and so on.
Yes.
So that sounds to me like the Grand Cross is
yes.
going to be a culmination of events, perhaps,
it's
or...
a combination of, you know, what the cross really tells us is happening is a mass consciousness change. It doesn't tell us what events it's going to bring. We can infer, we
yes.
can guess.
Yes.
But really what it indicates is there's a breakdown of the old ways of thinking, and that's very exciting.
Well, it sounds very hopeful, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a personal level, Jessica, does your personal life become easier now that you're an established astrologer?
Well, I even dream in astrology. I mean,
really?
My language.
Oh, how interesting.
I see everything through astrology. So,
how interesting.
It very much makes it easier for me. It still means that I have to go through the challenges, but at least I feel these days as I can see what they are.
Mm.
In other words, I can see ahead of time what the lesson is.
Absolutely.
Even if the experience is difficult, and I can kind of cut to the punch.
How wonderful.
In my mind and try to get myself
prepared
for the lesson. It does make it easier.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. And happy holidays.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you.